This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's just a short recap of last week's sermon. So just in short, we spoke about us being God's temple. And not so much us as individuals, but how God says we as a family are God's temple, and He pours out His Spirit in this temple. And when we scatter this temple, we would have to deal with God, because He's protecting His temple. He's protecting His house. To submit every room, to not hold anything back, to be filled by the Holy Spirit. An interesting thing that I just felt the Lord lay on my heart, and I'm not going to dwell on this. I felt the Holy Spirit share something with me in the week with regards to being filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is that only when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we notice the influence of demons in our lives. So sometimes when we choose to follow Jesus and the Holy Spirit starts shining His light in us, we start seeing, okay, but where's all this enemies coming from now? And they were there the whole time. We just couldn't see. So by the grace of God, He fills us with His Spirit when we decide to follow Him, and all of a sudden we start seeing things. So you might not even know that there are certain demonic influences in your life until you start following Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the one that brings it out, that reveals it. To live by the Word of God, specifically there, we spoke about not trusting our emotions, not letting our emotions determine, and how the Christian life starts with a fact from Scripture. What does God say? Then faith comes in that word that God said, and then the feeling is the outflow. So if we get this wrong, we get a feeling, we discern the feeling, and we try to battle it with the Word. And we try to change emotions. We try to change the belief that we have. And it's off. We battle with that. Can't get that right. We have to believe the Word. We have to live from the Word. The armor of God, which is interesting. We're not going to go into that now. Verse 11 says, put on. You don't miraculously wake up one day wearing the armor. You don't miraculously wake up one day with your head covered, your chest covered, with your feet covered. You have to put it on. It's deliberate. A garment of praise. We specifically spoke on a faint spirit, as the ESV says, or a spirit of heaviness. It's a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not only a mental thing. It's a spirit. And we need to address it as a spirit. Doesn't mean that for some of us there's no medical cause of that. There is a medical cause, beloved, because we live in a carnal body. Some of us, it is that. But it's worth testing both ways. It's worth testing, is it medical? And it's worth testing to say, is this a spirit? Because if it's a spirit and we battle it with medication, we're not going to be set free. So are you guys with me? Cultivate right relationships. Be careful of arguments. Be careful of resentment, be careful of bitterness, be careful of unforgiveness. Cultivate right relationships. So according to Romans 10 verse 17, like we see there, faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So as faith comes through hearing, so also doubt comes through hearing. So also attacks come through hearing. So the people that you spend time with are either going to speak into your life, build you up to follow Jesus better, or they're going to break you down. It comes by hearing. So be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you spend time with for fellowship reasons. I'm not saying we don't reach out. We don't reach the lost. We don't evangelize. We don't go share the gospel. But that's not fellowship. Are you guys with me? I'm speaking about fellowship. When I open my heart to receive from someone, I need to be sure they are speaking aligned with faith, with the truth of God. Then we ended off with making Jesus central. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, we see, no one can lay a foundation other than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We can differ on many things, but we cannot differ on the fact that Jesus is the foundation. Once we start doubting Him, what He's done on the cross, what He's done for us, we are in trouble. We can differ on many things, but we can't differ on what Jesus did, who he was, what happened because of what he did on the cross, and what happened when he rose again. We can't differ on that. So today, I want us to, so that was the walking part. And Belen and myself, we had quite a laugh on how to get the title for today, because we had to say, so what is now the opposite of walking? So this is now walking, how to walk with God. And we were having a lot of fun with saying, okay, so how do you say I'm now not walking? So we had all of these things happening, like walking, and then a dot, 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 and then not. And then we thought, we'll understand, but what was the other one? We actually, disabled walking. We also had one saying, where's my legs? That would have been a fun one. Imagine coming to a sermon title and the first slide is, where's my legs? So this went on for quite a few minutes. We had a lot of fun with this one. But the word obstacle stuck, and it's so interesting, the word that Rudy shared, because it is what it is. And better one, Louis. Okay. Huh? Theologically correct. Thank you. Thank you for the sharp people in the room. The theologians. So before we speak about the obstacles of walking, I want us to just get one lens right, and that is that nothing that we're going to share now is based on an emotion. It's deliberate. We often feel like, when I feel like something, then I will do something. When I feel like responding, I will. When I feel I had enough sleep, then I'll. If I feel like I'm close to God, then I will. If I feel, our emotions are quite integral to many things that we do. I just want to say before we start, none of this is based on emotions. These that we are talking about is emotions. You guys with me? So that's the one thing. And the second thing is, please remain in the conversation with God, because I have a feeling this morning that if we tap out from the conversation with God, he's going to let me send you the notes and go work through it at home. And I want to be part. I want to be part of what God wants to do this morning. So please keep in conversation with him. This is not about me. Are you with me? So let's read in Mark 1, verse 14 to 15. Here's the first obstacle that's probably going to be an obstacle that shatters everything that wants to follow after that. Remember, we are talking about how can we walk with God? How can we walk with him? So this is something that will block us out, that will be an immense obstacle in our lives. Now, after John was arrested, it's important here that this specific portion of Scripture starts with Jesus begins his ministry. This is the beginning. He's beginning his ministry by saying, now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. Now, I know this is not the first time that you hear this, but I want us to see something. We often find ourselves in a position where we feel, I do not have faith. I do not have faith. I do not have what it takes to face this certain situation. I do not have what it takes. I can't walk in this direction. And listen to this. This is not a stirring up by emotion of faith. This is because repentance is due. What is repentance? Repentance is saying, I am denying myself. I'm laying myself down and I'm leaning on him. I'm changing. I'm allowing change in me. So the first thing I want us to chat to God about this morning is the fact that there would be no real faith without repentance. There is not going to be a walk by faith in you if there's no repentance. And we need to repent often. For example, if you felt this morning, I would like to pray, but I do not know what to say. It's something that we can repent of. Lord, I am using my abilities to determine whether I am following you. I'm repenting of that. I'm laying that down. I'm bringing that before you. And I'm saying, Lord, if you want me to speak, I'll speak. If you want me to pray, I pray. We often take these emotions and feelings and things that we feel, and we just think it's maybe just opposition. It's maybe just that I need something more. It's maybe just that my skills are not up to date, or I'm not qualified in whatever way. We tend to use very interesting definitions to determine how able we are to do certain things. And listen to me, it's simply unbelief. It's simply unbelief in the revelation of God. He is saying something to you. He's stirring something in you. You are noticing something. And because of the fact that you are receiving a lie blocking you out from that, you are not able to walk. Repent. Repent. And it's so interesting. Scripture says repentance is a gift. It's something God gives, but we make it a curse word. We're like, no, it's horrible to repent. Until you realize it's repentance that stirs the faith. Why is it bad? It's an amazing thing to repent. Repent, quick. So I'm gonna give us just a moment. And I mean, if there is something that pops up in your mind or in your heart now, make a note of it. But let's take this moment and say, Lord, I'm identifying this. Let's do it now. Just there where you are. Just take a moment. If you feel you can't hear God's voice this morning, you can't hear what He's saying, repent of that. Say, Lord, I'm battling to believe. I repent of that. Your word says you speak. Your word says you are here. Your word says you are helping. I repent of my unbelief. Come set me free. We also find that in Luke 15 verse 7, Matthew 4 verse 17, Luke 24 verse 47. All of those spaces where we actually experience God say, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It's a whole space where we do not lean on our own understanding, but we let go of ourselves. We repent of that. We lay it down. It's interesting how many times scriptures say you cannot serve two gods, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot hold on to what God is giving and hold on to your life at the same time. We need to let one go. Otherwise, we will not be walking. And us, as a family, we want to walk. Are you with me? We want to follow Him. Let's repent quickly. The second one I want to touch on is we find in James 5 verse 14 to 16. It's interesting. It seems like, especially in the beginning of Scripture and in Jesus' ministry, confession, repenting is a focus. You know, often we get this justification. We actually said at the office, we said, you know, sometimes we just say, I made a mistake. I just did something wrong. It's so interesting because what's the difference between that and sinning? We tend to just say things, you know, I was just not focused. Why would we do that? Why would we not just confess? Why would we just not repent? We read in James 5 verse 14 to 16, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Exactly the word that Pauline shared. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Listen to the question, is anyone among you sick? It's like a blanket statement, mate. It's like, is anyone among you sick? Are you going through something that is hard to carry? Call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing. But then it goes on to say, look at this link between faith for one who is sick and then committing sins, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Confess your sins to one another. I remember I was driving to I was driving to go work out in Secunda once, and well, not once. I'm referring to that one day. I did it quite often, but I was driving that day, and I saw a billboard, which had a half naked lady on, and it was horrible because I the whole time felt my eyes drawn to that, and I felt why would I feel that? Why would I experience that? And then when I got to the place where we worked out, and Pastor Vian was there, and then I went to him and I said, "Listen, I don't know why, but I want to repent of this. I want to confess this. I felt this drawing, and I want to confess about it now." So I walked to him. He put his arms around me. I stood there with him. I said, "Lord Jesus, I just want to confess of the fact that I was looking at that billboard and I found it hard to look away. I just want to bring that before you and I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name." And Vian said, "Lord, thank you so much for what Henny just prayed. I just pray over him that you would heal him and you would restore him in Jesus' name." And that is how it works. You just find something in you that's not aligning with Scripture, that's not aligning with your relationship with God. You turn to someone, a brother or sister in Christ. You take them by the hands and you say, "This is what I'm going through. I'm confessing that right now, wherever we are at. Just pray for me." And the one person confesses and the other one says, "God, I just pray your healing over this person." A massive blockage. Because if we do not do that, what happens? Anyone? Huh? Yes. Yeah. It becomes really hard. And to revisit that is almost impossible. Have you ever felt, "I need to speak to someone about this," and then not do it right in the moment? To actually, a day after or 2 days after or whatever, to revisit that is like weird. And the longer it becomes, the more you think, "Okay, now how do I start this conversation? Now I have to say, you know what, a week ago I felt the Holy Spirit show me." Now you're like thinking, "This guy is going to think, what type of Christian is this friend of mine?" Let's confess quickly. It's gonna be an immense stumbling block. It's gonna be a great obstacle in your life, a horrible one. And the worst thing about that is it actually piles up. Because now it's no longer that board. Next time you walk, there's a real person that's walking next to the road, and you feel, okay, now it's now the confession of the sin becomes something that becomes really hard. And shortly after, it becomes so piled up that you don't even know where to start. Have you felt that? That by the time you get to someone, you sit down with someone and you say, "I have a very big problem." And then they're like, "I'm here for you, man. I back you. What's happening?" And you're like, "I don't know where to start. This thing started, you know, 2 months ago. I saw this board. And then I saw that person, and then that person. And it escalated, and now I'm in a place where I don't know. I doubt whether I hear God's voice. I'm in trouble." James 1 verse 14, it's not on the board, says, "But each person is tempted when he is led and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived," listen to this, "desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Now, I don't like that, to use extremes. It's like I try to use it as little as possible to actually force my children to do stuff. Because I want them to want to, right? So I don't like it to say, "If you do not tidy your room, I'm going to give you a hiding." I don't like to say that, because then it almost in a way forces them. But sometimes, for some reason, we are all children, in a way, reading a scripture like this, and then the moment we read, "We're going to die," then you're like, "You just come here. I saw that board. I just don't want to die." I felt that once when, in that extreme sense, I was driving back from a place called Molloth Park in the Lowveld, as a family. It was one of the most horrible times in my life. I drove, and all of a sudden, I saw this black thing covering my eyes as I'm driving. But it wasn't a symbolic thing. It was a very real thing, and I started to battle to see the road. Now, the medical people in the room might think you literally almost died, whatever was busy happening. I don't know what's busy happening, but I knew exactly God was saying, if you do not confess this thing, you are going to die. I felt God say, in as close as an audible voice that I have ever heard in my life, God say, this black thing that you are seeing that's busy overshadowing your eyes, this thing is coming for you, and you are going to die. And then I felt, Lord, confessing seems like a horrible thing to do, but it's not going to be as bad as dying, even if I lose everything. And you know what? Sometimes, in confessions of sin, you risk losing everything. Now you have to think of a scripture like, do not be afraid of people that can kill you, throw you with stones. Be afraid of who? The one who can cast your soul into hell. Be afraid of him. This is not a suggestion. This is something that will kill your relationship with God on earth. If we do not repent and let repentance drive our faith, and if we do not confess sin to one another and pray for each other for healing, we will die. It's just there. It's interesting, I listened to a guy speak on this in the week, and he said, guys, I know you want to be angry at someone. Just know I didn't make the rules. I just explained them. And it's the same for me. It's the same for me. Let's not wait. Let's be quick. We read in Matthew 18, verse 23. It's also not on the board, but we read in Matthew 18, verse 23, the parable about the unforgiving servant. You guys remember that? Before I go on to that, let's read Mark 11, 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And then verse 26, that's not in the ESV, but verse 26 in some manuscripts says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now it's interesting here, we also have taught ourselves great justifications. I've heard this one guy testify about speaking to the wife of a husband. The husband was caught up in adultery. And the wife found out about it, and the wife wanted help. And she asked, what do I need to do? And the pastor said, you should forgive. And he asked her, did you forgive your husband? And she said, I understand why my husband did that. And he said, that's not what I asked. I asked that you forgive your husband. And the wife said, I love my husband. And he said, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, did you forgive your husband? And she said, I'm really praying and trusting God for restoration in our marriage. And he said, that's not what I asked. I asked, did you forgive your husband? And she said, no. And she said, he broke down 15 years of my life. And he said, unforgiveness will take the next 15 also. Would you rather hold on to that, or would you rather want to let that go? And we have become very crafty in crafting ourselves out of forgiveness. It's very simple, as in, I forgive my mother. The moment we start praying like that, listen to the scripture. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If there's anything that comes to mind, simply start by saying, Father, I forgive. Blin prayed an awesome prayer now, and I don't know who picked it up, but the reality is sometimes God just comes and he gives us a grace to actually see what that person goes through. that drives their behavior. But even if it doesn't, there's no strings attached to that. It's simply us saying, God, I forgive. Not because of them, like Sinai said, because of me, because of what you have done for me. That parable of the unforgiving servants, I see according to modern times, it's about $6 billion that he owed the master. $6 billion that he owed, and he was set free. And then the moment he had to forgive a much lesser amount, he said, no, I'm not willing to. Now, sometimes we see what the other person went through while they did something to us. Sometimes God comes and he comes and shows us what we have been forgiven for. And then he's saying, now that I have forgiven you, why would you withhold that from someone? So it can be either one of the two, but let's not hold on to unforgiveness. Forgiveness is a decision of the will, listen to this, expressed by the utterance of our lips. And it's normally our closest relationships. But I've recently felt an emotion when a taxi drove in front of me. And I was saying, Lord, I'm worshiping. And now this emotion just came up. Well, what is this emotion about? And I felt the Lord say, forgive him. Forgive him. I'm like, Lord, I didn't even think there's an individual behind that. I just thought this is just a big steel thing that's just blocking the way. And it's frustrating because I wanted to drive here. And immediately I felt the Lord say, just forgive him. Forgive him. We skip that because we've become crafty in holding on to certain justification nonsense. It's nonsense. It's blocking us from walking aligned with God, because that emotion you are taking with you to wherever you're going. And the worst thing for me is God is speaking to me about how many emotions I'm taking out on my children. How many emotions I'm taking out on Belen. Because what do I do with it? If I don't repent, if I don't confess, if I don't forgive, where's that going? I'm taking it with me. How can we walk aligned with what God is busy doing if we are holding on to these worldly things? And that brings us to our last point for today, and then we're going to pray. A failure to break with the world or the occult. In Acts 19, verse 13 to 19, we see, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus, listen to this, whom Paul proclaims. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirits, listen to this, not the man, not the person who had the evil spirits. The evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped, listen to this. The man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Guys, have you seen those guys? They were the guys who got overpowered by demons and they fled the house naked and wounded. Do you remember? They became known to all the residents for that. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers. Now, I think if you were wondering if you want to believe and you see something like that sometimes, then you're like, now I believe. Maybe you don't believe in demons. Maybe you don't believe in Satan or the enemy's work or the dark kingdom or nothing of that. If this would make a believer out of anyone. Also, many of those who were now believers came, listen to this, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Let's quickly speak about who's the itinerant Jewish exorcist. The itinerant Jewish teachers or preachers in that time was actually traditional Jewish religion, people of religion, and they were the narrators of the Torah. They weren't people proclaiming a different gospel. They weren't magicians. And they were actually known for exorcism. So in whatever way they did that, they cast out demons, that time it didn't work. And they just knew, we want to see the same success as Paul. Because what happened here, remember in verse 13, they say, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. It's interesting, the commentaries on this specific piece of scripture say, they used the letters to make up the name of Jesus, but they did not know him. So they were able to say it because anyone can say anything. You can say anything. You can speak anything. But the challenge doesn't lie in whether you can put letters together. The challenge lies in, do you know who you are speaking about? The interesting thing about Paul and them was Paul followed Jesus, specifically mentioned he got baptized in the death of Jesus and risen, and then obviously got baptized, followed Jesus, and that is why he had the authority not only in saying the name of Jesus, but from relationship, proclaiming the power and the authority of who Jesus is, the one who reigns over every evil spirit. And the moment we want to abuse that, listen to me carefully, the moment we want to say things that we do not believe, we start offending people, hurting people for the wrong reasons. We touched on it last week when we said, let's stop just saying religious slogans just for this because it sounds nice. You know, when someone tells us you're going through a hard time, it's one of the most easy things to say, no, don't worry, God will. Where do we get that from? Who taught us that? It doesn't mean it's not the truth, but let's speak aligned with the Holy Spirit. Let's speak aligned with the relationship, not only simply reciting the Torah, simply reciting scripture to each other, but actually from a place of revelation, say, Lord, this became real to me. And if we don't, let's ask him. The confrontation about this and why this is a problem is twofold. The one is, We can be brought up within a religious context where Jesus and the church and God and the Holy Spirit and prayer and all of that is familiar, right? But it never became real for us. Never became someone or something that we deliberately follow. And in that sense, it becomes a stumbling block. But the second problem is in verse 18. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic art brought their books together and burnt them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and they found them to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Many of these people were practicing both religions at the same time. And for us, this is a very real threat. And this is very sensitive because I'm not able to actually tell you what of what you are currently doing is actually from God and what not. But it's extremely important that we actually clean the spaces that we are in to not have open doors for the devil. We cannot have idols in our homes. We cannot watch things and keep us busy with things that's actually proclaiming a different gospel. Filling our minds, filling our hearts, filling our thoughts with things that's not true. Every time we partake in things that is deliberate and driven by a very specific entity, that's intention is to draw us away from God. If we apply ourselves to that, we are partnering with that. We are creating a friendship with that. It actually blocks out the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Blocks out the relationship that we have with Jesus. We cannot hold on to the world and the occult practices, meaning not necessarily witchcraft and all of that. Anything that's resembling something other than us following Jesus. You guys with me? We need to break with that. Don't leave an open door. I want us to consider 4 points as we pray. The one is, in terms of faith, have I repented? Is it customary for me to repent? Do I repent quickly? Or do I try and build up faith in some other way? Repent. Repent and believe. The confession of sin. Are there things in my life that I need to draw a brother together and say, I need to confess? And I need you to pray a healing. Listen to me. It's very simply not you counseling someone. It's a conversation between someone saying, I need to bring this before God. I need to confess this sin that I've just applied myself to. The other person agree in the spirit. I hear what you're saying. Lord, thank you that you heard this. I pray in the name of Jesus because of James 5 that I can pray a healing over this person. It's scripture. Let's start using it. Not abusing, using, aligned with truth. Forgive. Whenever we pray, ask, Lord, is there someone, something, some specific thing that I need to forgive? I need to forgive. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes God will give us insight into what that person went through. Sometimes it unlocks compassion. But sometimes there's just a thing where the Holy Spirit comes and He just reveals what I've been forgiven from. And then I can also release that forgiveness. And lastly, break with the world or with the occult. Break with it. Make sure that you do not apply yourself to things that you in your spirit know, God spoke to me about this. There were many seasons in my life where God told me, you, from now on, until further notice, do not drink any alcohol. And then I can say, Lord, according to the legal limits, I'm even allowed to drive by taking 1 unit of alcohol, and I'm not going to get in trouble. Surely, this glass of red wine with my wife or with whatever isn't a problem. I'm now with people I'm trying to get to know. It's going to be weird. Everyone, you know, the first time we got to someone in the Cape, they welcomed us by saying, so do you drink red wine or white wine? So I've heard of people saying, let's go for a coffee. And then people feeling, why didn't you say, let's go for tea or let's go for hot chocolate? But these people didn't even include non-alcoholic drinks. They were just saying, do you drink red or white? And now you have to say, I'm not having wine. Do you have water? And it's weird. It's uncomfortable. But for me, it was necessary. Why? Because what do I choose in that moment? Have you thought about that? What do I choose? And we don't think about it like that. We don't think we're choosing against God. We don't think we're fearing man more than God. We just think, Lord, and listen to me. Maybe some of you will feel like I'm now unfair, but we even go to a point where we say, I will repent later. I've said that. Is there anyone here that have said that? Lord? Yeah. Lord, I know. And then almost like, I'll just repent later. Really? Can we play with God? Can we take that chance? So I want us to be serious about these 4 things because as an office, as leadership, people who love this church family, we feel that God is busy positioning this church family to be successful in the spirit. That may include many facets. That may include you being healed from horrible things, being protected from horrible things, or going through horrible persecution. It might mean anything. But with Him, it will be different than to do it alone. We need to be aligned with Him. We need to be walking with Him. And we cannot compromise on things that is deliberately holding us back from Him.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.